Head On Radio Network, and you can do that at the headonradionetwork.com and at theguyjamesshow.com. So do keep that in mind, and I think it's important that we keep our voices up and running.
This is the Quality News Network. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said today the House will vote on a $50 billion war funding bill as soon as Friday. The amount is about a quarter of what President Bush has requested for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The bill would also require the president to start bringing troops home immediately and end combat by December 2008. Congress overrode the first veto in President Bush's seven-year presidency. The Senate voted 79-14 today to pass the $23 billion water resources bill. President Bush had criticized it for containing unnecessary projects, but Congress supported the bill, which provides local communities with money for dams, sewage plants, and beach restoration. The state of California is suing the federal government over auto emissions. The suit against the EPA will force a decision about whether California can go ahead and impose gas emission standards for vehicles. If California is granted the waiver, about a dozen other states are expected to follow. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is in Japan today. He urged the country to play a larger role in international security. In Pakistan, President General Pervez Musharraf said that parliamentary elections will take place in mid-February. That is about a month later than planned. Former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto urged Musharraf to step down as head of the military, something President Bush has also urged him to do. The former Soviet Republic of Georgia remains under a state of emergency. Its president said today elections will be moved ahead to January 5th of next year, quote, to receive the trust of the people, end quote. In northern Italy today, a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter crashed. Four people on board were killed and six were injured. The helicopter had taken off from the U.S. Air Force base in Aviano. In Dubai, a bridge under construction has collapsed. Seven workers were killed and 15 were injured, according to authorities. According to the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal political poll, with 1 year until the 2008 presidential election, in the Democratic field, New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton leads with 47%. On the Republican side, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani is ahead with 33% support. And in a head-to-head matchup with Clinton and Giuliani, they are in a statistical tie. She has 46% while he has 45%. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business next.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
A container ship struck one of the Bay Bridge towers yesterday and spilled 58,000 gallons of oil into San Francisco Bay. The accident occurred in heavy fog. Several beaches are now closed and wildlife is threatened. Authorities are working on cleaning up the spilled oil. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke spoke to a congressional committee today and said in the coming months, business growth will noticeably slow down. He cited the housing slump as a reason. However, he did not indicate that the central bank is ready to cut interest rates even more. The Labor Department reports that last week 317,000 applications for jobless benefits were filed. That's a decrease of 13,000 from the previous week. Ford Motor reports it lost $380 million in its third quarter. That's a narrower loss than the same period 1 year ago. Many U.S. retailers reported disappointing sales in October. A retail analyst explained that milder than normal weather has decreased consumers' interest in winter apparel. Gold is trading at $837.50 an ounce. Light sweet crude is trading at $95.46 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is down 40 points, the NASDAQ is down 53, and the S&P 500 is down 1 point. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Got a little bit of feedback there, I think. So let's talk about it. It is the Week in Review, and of course, I want to encourage all of you to join in as well. And give me what's on your mind. First, I want to talk about is the Virginia elections, because I am in Washington. I'm very close to Northern Virginia. I am watching Virginia politics. And those of you that were listening to my show that it was on Monday know that we did a show, in fact, on the Virginia elections. So the results are in, my friends. And in Virginia, a state that hasn't voted for a Democrat presidential candidate since Lyndon Johnson in 1964. In Virginia, a state that just 8 years ago had a Republican governor, two Republican senators, and a Republican legislature. In Virginia, we have not only a Democratic governor, not only a Democratic senator, which we got Jim Webb last year, but I'm proud to say, as of Tuesday, we have a Democratic Senate. That's right. The Democrats took over control of the Virginia Senate for the first time since 1991. Now, the Virginia House is still Republican, but the Democrats made gains there. And this is really important, because if they can get the House 2 years from now in the next Virginia election, and I think that's possible, then they could redistrict it and take a state that's really a purple state, a state that's about equally red and blue, Democrat and Republican, and change it from being 8 members of Congress that are Republican and 3 Democrats to 8 Democrats and 3 Republicans. Because when you have a 50-50 state, you can basically gerrymander a switch of 10 seats in the House of Representatives just by drawing boundaries. It may not seem fair, it may not seem just, but heck, that's the way American politics has always worked. And as we know, it's what Tom DeLay did in Texas for the first time in American history outside of the census year, and did that, and he actually made that switch of 10 seats. He created 5 new Republican seats where 5 Democrats were. So it's amazing how local elections affect national elections. And Virginia is in many ways a microcosm of the United States. You have a state that on its coasts, Northern Virginia near Washington and down in the Hampton Roads area, in the Norfolk area, on its coast, it's a blue state, much like America on its coasts is a blue state. And then in its center, in its rural area, it's as red as can be, Republican as can be. So this is a state that's changing. As more people are moving into Northern Virginia, we are slowly taking back this state, and I'm very proud of that. And just wanted to give y'all the good news. Hey, Malin, I didn't say Democrat. I said Democratic. I assure I did. I'm sure I did. I hope I did. I agree. It's the Democratic Party. Ooh, boy, I sure hope I didn't make that mistake. In any case, if you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK. I want to talk about Pakistan today. There's also a Saudi school the U.S. is closing down. An interesting study on abortion to talk about. There's always Mukasey and the great role on torture that, America's going down as becoming the wonderful next step, I guess, to the gulag, the wonderful world of torture. There is the water bill, no, not waterboarding, water bill, the first override of a Bush veto in the Bush presidency. And finally, there are the musings of one of our right-wing fanatics, Glenn Beck. Now, I don't normally talk about the right-wing fanatics on the air. There's a certain blonde, long-haired woman performance artist with an Adam's apple whose name I will not mention on the air. At least I try very hard not to. But sometimes it's important to see and to hear what these wackos are saying because, well, let's face it, they control 95% of talk radio. And we have talk radio all over the country in places like San Francisco or Washington, D.C., or Baltimore, or Los Angeles, or New York City, in heavily Democratic areas, Boston, and the talk radio in these heavily Democratic, liberal, progressive cities is all right-wing. And it's an amazing thing, really, when you think about it, because Republicans will tell you they believe in the free market. They'll tell you they believe in capitalism. And yet, right here in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, an area full of, you know, way leftists, liberal Democrats, and moderate Democrats, an area where the District of Columbia did not give George Bush double digits in his 2004 election. I'm very proud of that. Kerry got 90%. Bush got 9%. Nader got 1%. So Bush did not crack the double digits in D.C. And yet in Washington, D.C., what do we have? Mostly right-wing radio. We have companies that are not going to the majority of Americans, not even when it's 90-9. Instead, they're going to, well, the people who pay their bills. And we all know the Christian right funds talk radio. You know, Richard Mellon Scaife funds talk radio. The Republican Party owns the Fox Propaganda Channel. But Democrats aren't stepping up to the plate. And this is not just a plea for you to contribute to the Head On Radio Network, but a plea for you to get out there and convince your local radio station that, hey, the great majority of us don't like the president. He has the lowest approval rating ever. And we need a voice, too. Give a voice to the majority of Americans. And as we see that, yes, Virginia is, even Virginia, even the South, is slowly turning blue, we need to have more of a voice. So I want to play for you a audio that we have of a true wacko by the name of Glenn Beck, and then comment on it. Let's play that audio.
Been arrested since Pakistani president.
I guess we'll have that. Here it is. Nope. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Tell you what, let's come back to the audio after the break and change topic for now. Tell you what, let's go to a break. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
the horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Foxed Up at its new time, 12 midnight, following nighttime Cup of Joe. We'll take a look at John Lennon's Thanksgiving 1974 onstage appearance with Elton John, marking the end of Lennon's lost weekend.
That's when Yoko and I got back together the night I performed with Elton at Madison Square Garden.
Be there this Thursday on Foxed Up at its new time, 12 midnight, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Whatever gets you through the night.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I was trying to play a quote from a notorious evil right-wing radio host, Glenn Beck. But you know what? The machine that was going to play it gagged on his combination of hot air and spittle. And I really can't blame the machine. I mean, you know, I gag when
President.
Is this it? We got it? I think it's gagging. And like I said, I can't blame it because I gag when I hear him too. So tell you what, I will just read for you what he said. All right, he's talking about Pakistan, and listen, I'm very concerned about Pakistan too. I want to spend a lot of time today talking about Pakistan. My concern is that the people that are opposed to Musharraf are not the Osama bin Ladens of the world. They're not the Islamic extremists. They're actually exactly the kind of people we want. They are Democrats, Islamic. They are lawyers. They are people like former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, who is a moderate, who would be both pro-American, anti-Al-Qaeda, and most importantly, pro-democracy, someone who cares about her people. And so that's why Musharraf is so incredibly dangerous. But let me read to you what Glenn Beck said about Pakistan. He said, Pakistan, this is a direct quote, Pakistan has tried everything so far to stomp out the Islamist threat. They've tried bringing them into the fold. They've tried to negotiate with them. They've even tried to coexist with them by creating no-go zones. But despite all that, along with all the billions in aid and all the intel that we've given them, everything they've tried has failed. There's one thing in my book they haven't tried yet, and that is killing every single one of the radicals. Killing every single one of the radicals. That is the Glenn Beck solution. Well, you know what's interesting? I think that's a radical solution. I think it's a radical solution. I think everyone, I agree with Glenn Beck, I think everyone with radical ideas like that should be shot. Glenn? Glenn? You're a radical. You know, it's amazing to me how right-wingers think of it. They think of the world very much like a video game, and I like video games as much as anybody. There's a limited number of gremlins, right? And if you shoot every one of them, you win the game. Right? There's 142. And you kill every one of them, and boom, you win. Game over. On to the next level. World doesn't work like that. You see, when we torture, that's bringing back Mukasey again, and when we kill, particularly when we have fallout by killing a bunch of civilians, then you know what? We get more radicals. Now, I'm not saying in any shape that people should be nice to Osama bin Laden at all. But the idea that, hey, there's a set number of people, and they hate us, and if we just kill every one of them, everything will be just fine, doesn't work like that. One of the amazing things is how little we have learned over hundreds of years of American history. I mean, you don't have to go back to Vietnam. You can go back to the Revolutionary War. Okay, I admit I've been watching the Revolution on the History Channel. But hey, what was the lesson there? The Revolutionary War was in many ways a civil war. That's not talked about much in American textbooks. We had a number of Tories, loyalists, they called them, people who were loyal to the crown, to Great Britain. And they were fighting against the revolutionaries, the patriots, as we called them. And one of the most interesting things is that George Washington understood, but the British didn't, is that it was important to win their hearts and minds. So whereas the British troops would go into a village and steal all their food, American troops, they tried very hard not to do that, even though our troops were no doubt starving. Because George Washington understood, he had to run a country afterwards, that if in the conduct of war you act in an intolerable, inhumane fashion, not only is it wrong, is it cruel, is it immoral, but you actually lose the war. And what all of our analysts are saying is that in Iraq, for example, the reason we are losing the war is the same reason we lost the war in Vietnam. We don't have the hearts and minds of the people. It's a political battle. And the amazing thing is, Republicans, they love to put down things like diplomacy, things like, helping people out. They're seen as weak, as feminine, right? It's a macho thing. It's, that's, you're acting like a woman trying to negotiate rather than beating someone up like a man. And yet, any of our generals will tell you that is the most powerful way to win a war. And right now, in Pakistan, right now, we are teetering on something far more dangerous than Iraq, something far more dangerous than Iran, something far more dangerous than Osama bin Laden himself. A nuclear power that could fall to an unstable, anti-American, Taliban, Islamic fundamentalist government. Now, there are two ways to fight this, right? And we could do them in combination. There's the Glenn Beck way. Let's nuke parts of Pakistan and kill every last one of them. Or we can support the pro-democracy movements that, luckily for us, exist in Pakistan. They don't exist in some other countries. But Pakistan has a history of, at least sometimes in its history, having democracy. Pakistan has not always been a dictatorship. It's not Saudi Arabia or Syria. It, like Iran, interestingly, another counterexample, has had periods of pretty close to democracy. And one of the women that we need to be behind 100% is Benazir Bhutto. Now, she is likely to get killed. I hope she's watching her back. I would not be surprised if she's assassinated in the next week or two. But she's a very brave woman, and sometimes it takes a woman to do this kind of a job to get the kind of trust back. Because at this point, Osama bin Laden is more popular in Pakistan than our ally, the dictator Musharraf. And that's not good, my friends. Do you know what happened in Iran? Do you know how we got to this mess of Ahmad Fulajad, who wants to, kill all the Jews? How do we get there? Well, We got there because we overthrew, back in 1954, a democratically elected Iranian leader by the name of Mossadegh, who, yes, wanted to nationalize the oil companies. That's why we got rid of him. He wanted to make sure that the oil revenue went to his people rather than, you know, the heads of Exxon and Mobil. You can't really blame him, but since Exxon and Mobil controlled the U.S. government, they got Eisenhower to overthrow him. We installed the Shah of Iran, Reza Pahlavi, who, listen, in many ways was very good. He definitely modernized the country and was good to U.S. oil companies and was our strong ally. No question about it, and he gave women full rights. And he also tortured his own people. Anyone who opposed the government, he tortured. Frankly, our CIA taught him how to torture, using some of those same techniques that we use today. Some of those same techniques that Judge Mukasey thinks are just fine. Yes, they're repugnant to him, sure, but you can't really call them torture. So we taught him how to do it, and then there came a time when the people disliked the Shah of Iran more than they disliked some of their homegrown Islamic fundamentalists, and then Khomeini took power, and, well, hostage crisis, Jimmy Carter, the rest is history. So we've got to worry about blowback. And in Pakistan, we've got a real problem. We've got to immediately throw our support behind democracy, behind the lawyers, behind Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, and get Musharraf to step down. You know, I was reading the newspaper just a couple days ago, and there's this wonderful cartoon, Tom Tolles, I think, and it shows Dick Cheney, and he's watching Pakistan. He's watching what's going on there. He's watching President Musharraf suspend the Constitution and torture everybody, and he says to himself, I wonder if Musharraf needs a vice president. Because that's what we're coming to, right? That's what we're coming to. We're becoming that kind of nation. We're becoming the sort of nation that does the same thing that we can complain about our enemies. And that's why I thought the Mukasey confirmation, well, it's coming. It came through Judiciary Committee. It's coming around the corner. But it's all very interesting to me. Because in some sense, you got to say Feinstein and Schumer are right when they say, well, we can't get any better than Mukasey under Bush. Well, that's right. We can't get any better than Mukasey under Bush. And so what are we to do? What are we to do? If we stand up and make clear that we don't allow torture in America, well, then Bush will just hire someone worse. Or probably someone just like he did with the two Supreme Court justices, someone who pretends not to be as radical as they are, right? The secret agenda of Roberts and Alito and all of them, and then they just get in and they do that kind of thing. Well, I don't know. I hate to think Mukasey's the best choice. They may be right about that. I'd still vote against him because I think we have to make clear our position on torture. But really, we're in a waiting game. The question is, how much damage can George Bush do in his last year in office? And I'd say the damage is pretty severe. So, you want to call in? Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Tell me what's on your mind. It is the Week in Review. All topics are valid. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, Be practical. Get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Isn't it amazing that Bush suddenly has discovered the merits of fiscal restraint? He says he doesn't want to increase the budget now, so he's vetoed spending on water projects, and he's threatening to veto a bill that will modestly increase spending on education, labor, and yes, even veterans programs. Bush cares about the soldiers only when they're fighting his wars, not when they return as veterans. And he doesn't care at all about the budget deficit. How could he? He took a record budget surplus and buried it in Iraq. For all the money he's spent there already, about $500 billion, we could have had 4 million new units of low-income housing. We could have hired 8 million new teachers. We could have entered 60 million kids in Head Start. All this according to a great group called the National Priorities Project. And before the war's over, it will have cost us about $2 trillion, enough to pay for universal health care in America for 20 years. Congress, unfortunately, isn't calling for universal health care right now, just a little bit here and there on social programs, that's all. But Bush has no interest in these. He's got only two buckets, one in each hand. One's for war, and the other's for corporate welfare. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I should make a correction that Arduk points out. Ahmadinejad did not say kill all the Jews. He said basically destroy the state of Israel. That he wants to do. He denies the Holocaust. He did not say kill all the Jews. He's kind of like the Klan leader that doesn't say kill all the blacks. He just says, they're inferior and deadly and vermin and things like that. One person, though, who does want to kill the Jews, apparently, is the government of Saudi Arabia. Again, whether people act on this rhetoric or not, I don't know. Obviously, there are all kinds of radicals out there. But there is a Saudi school in Northern Virginia that the State Department really should shut down. They're thinking about it. And it's a Saudi school. It's run by the Saudi government, in fact. And they have textbooks that are the standard textbooks that they give out in Saudi Arabia. And that's why we can know these things that we wouldn't otherwise know. And a study by the Center for Religious Freedom and Institute for Gulf Affairs shows a ninth grade textbook teaching teenagers that violence toward Jews, Christians, and others is sanctioned by God. That would include not just Jews and Christians, but Shias and polytheists. And then a 12th grade textbook reads, quote, "The hour of judgment will not come until the Muslims fight the Jews and kill them," unquote. Kind of sounds like some fundies in the United States. The Muslims and the Christians have to kill the Jews. What, you know, it's, what, you know, 18 million people in the world? What is it? The Jewish population of the world is 0.0001%? I don't know. It's tiny. And yet, apparently, these two huge religions have to kill all the Jews to live. Look, I hope we do shut it down. And I hope we don't forget that there are people out there that are teaching their populations this kind of stuff. You know, I did a show not that long ago. It was really something that I need to look into again. But I did a show about 6 months ago on the FBI cover-up of the conspiracy between white supremacists and Islamic fundamentalists. And the surprising thing was I heard people say, really? White supremacists and Islamic fundamentalists? What do they have in common? Well, put it together. They both want to kill Jews. Isn't that nice? They can get together, all those people that hate and plan out their hateful acts. Look, there are dangerous people out there of all walks of life. I'm going to condemn those, whether they come from, you know, pro-Bush or anti-Bush quarters, whether they come from the Ku Klux Klan or they come from Al-Qaeda, doesn't really matter to me. The point is that we need to watch what's going on, what people are teaching. It's all a battle of hearts and minds. And when we ourselves are promoting torture, when we ourselves are putting people in secret prisons or sending people by extraordinary rendition, I haven't seen that movie yet, by the way. I want to see it. I hear Meryl Streep's very good. But sending people by rendition to be tortured in foreign countries, then we are losing people's hearts and minds. And at some point, if we don't act very, very quickly to let the people of Pakistan know which side we're on, then I'm afraid the wrong people will overthrow Musharraf. We need the right people to support. So let's see if we can convince him to do the right thing. There is, as you know, the override of the water bill. And I was thinking, does anyone really care about the water bill? But it is a sign, my friends. It's a sign that Bush is losing power more and more and more. And if they can override pork barrel spending, then why can't they override the state children's health insurance program? Well, part of it is the difference between Republicans. Obviously, the Democrats are pretty much 100% for both bills. The water bill is pork barrel, but it's also a lot of post-Katrina cleanup. So I think it's more good than harm. But the Republicans will spend for pork. I mean, they care about the pork in their districts. They just don't care about their children, or at least poor children in America. And so they're willing to override that veto. Still, it makes you wonder what is going to come up in the future. In the chat room, I was asked whether I thought that John Conyers was going to look into some of the impeachment allegations of Dennis Kucinich's bill. Well, I think he will. I think he kind of is already, frankly. I certainly know that Henry Waxman is. What they're doing is trying to build the case, and it's hard because they're being stonewalled. Today is the, actually it's tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day when the Judiciary Committee will come down and say, hey, folks, if you don't give us the people that we've asked for, Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton, we're going to hold you in contempt. And thus will begin the process of the great battle between Congress and the United States. And it's amazing really how little press this has gotten. This is a major conflict here between Congress and the President. And then what's going to happen, of course, the Attorney General will, for the first time in American history, expressly refuse to obey the law. And maybe then, you want to do an impeachment? Maybe then we could impeach. The problem is that it was so much easier to impeach Gonzalez. I really felt like that was what we needed to do first, that an opportunity was lost, that in the midst of all of that, when Gonzalez was holding in, begin impeachment proceedings against him, because that's something that might just have gotten two-thirds of the Republicans. They might just have joined in. I do want to hear what's on your mind, though, and I'll make sure you give us a call. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. What's on your mind this week? Is it the presidential race? I heard there's a poll that shows that Bill Clinton. Ha! Hillary Rodham Clinton. I wish it were Bill, but whatever. Hillary Rodham Clinton and Giuliani are neck and neck. What does that tell you? You know, it's interesting. I fear Giuliani. I don't mind saying that, admitting that to you. Giuliani is someone who's just moderate enough on social issues that he could win over that great middle. The great middle, 20%, that doesn't watch politics. I mean, at this point, a Democrat would win the White House, any Democrat. The people are very angry at Bush. But a year from now, when the Republicans have raked our Democratic nominee, whoever he or she is, over the coals, I don't know. Mr. 9/11 possibly could win. I don't want Giuliani to win the nomination, because I'll admit it, I fear him. Put Romney in there. He'd lose in a landslide, right? Or Thompson. That's okay with me. I don't think anyone would vote for him. Giuliani, it's tough, because it's interesting. He's so, and I wouldn't say he's liberal, because he's not in any way, shape, or form, but let's just say, since he's moderate on social issues, it would be interesting if the fundies decide to kick themselves in the foot, shoot themselves in the foot, much like the people on the left did when they voted for Ralph Nader. Maybe they would run a third party. And I couldn't think of anything better than to have the fundamentalists run their own third party. That would give us a 49 or 50 state victory. Heck, we might even win in Idaho or Wyoming. So, I don't know. Who do you think should win the Democratic race? I mean, Barack Obama, I don't know that I'm hearing that much excitement. I know a lot of people in the chat room want Dennis Kucinich to run. He is running to win. They may vote, pull the lever for him, and that's fine. But who do you really think that Dennis Kucinich could beat a Republican? Do you really think he could beat Giuliani? Are you going to vote with your heart, or are you going to vote with your mind? Who are you going to vote for in the primary? Let me hear from you, folks. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, or 877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be right back after this.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans? Tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great. Quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Hi, I'm Linda Ellerbee. Did you know that every 3 minutes another woman gets the news she has breast cancer? I got it 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2-new, oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options, and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. The first place to go the minute you find you have breast cancer, breastcancer.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. One more thing that I promised at the top of the hour to give you I haven't talked about yet is a very interesting study by the World Health Organization, pretty reputable organization. It finds that whether abortion is legal or not, are there the same rates of abortion worldwide? In rich countries and in poor countries, equally. And that half of all abortions worldwide are unsafe. This is very, very interesting to me because I hear a lot of the pro-life advocates, so-called pro-life advocates, anti-choice, whatever you want to call them, they keep talking about, oh, you know, this is murder, this is awful, we have to stop people from having abortions. And sometimes they say, well, you know, unsafe abortions, they don't really happen that much. Abortion, unsafe abortion, accounts, according to the study, for 13% of maternal mortality worldwide. 70,000 women a year die every year from abortion. Now, there are cultural things. In Eastern Europe, there are more abortions than live births. It's hard living in Eastern Europe. In Western Europe, there are 12 abortions a year for every 1,000 women. In North America, there are 21 abortions a year. So we have more abortions in Western Europe and less than Eastern Europe. What does that tell me? That tells me that our life is better than Eastern Europe and not as good as Western Europe. When you have a better life, when you have more poor people with money and health care, when you have more equality of wealth, more people able to raise children, guess what? Abortion levels go down. That's no surprise. So if the right wing really wants to stop abortions, instead of making them illegal, I have another idea. Simply give children health care. Give people a chance in America, equal opportunity, a chance for the poor to succeed. Allow a little bit more redistribution of wealth so that people who are making money as a waitress pay at least, you know, the same tax rates, hopefully less, as people who are making hundreds of millions playing with the market. And guess what? Abortions go down. But if you make them illegal, we just have women dying. Alan is calling in. Alan, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Alan.
Do we have you, Alan?
I'm wondering. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
Hear me okay?
I hear you fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if Dennis Kucinich got just as much press coverage or just as good a press coverage as the Republican, and he was nominated by the Democrats. It seems like in debates he would just tear the Republicans up.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. What do you think?
I think, unfortunately, and I agree with a lot of what Dennis Kucinich says, I just got to be honest with you. I think that he would be mocked in it. I mean, think about how much John Kerry, a war hero, was mocked. And Dennis Kucinich has sometimes says the wrong thing. I mean, what he said about UFOs, unfortunately, silly as it is, it has nothing to do with policy whatsoever. That kind of thing means that he could never be president. It's like Jerry Brown.
What I said earlier, though, if he got equal press coverage, see, John Kerry, he didn't get equal press coverage. I don't think people were just, the press was telling lies about him.
Well, they did tell lies about him, but look, they're going to tell lies about any Democratic candidate, okay? They're going to do a swift boat type thing, whether it's Hillary or Obama. It's already starting now, in fact, right? I mean, Barack Obama, oh my God, his middle name is Hussein, therefore he's an Islamic terrorist, right? You know, Hillary, Oh my God, she changed the travel agency under Bill Clinton. That just shows she's corrupt. They're going to do it with anybody. I mean, John Edwards, oh my God, he fixes his hair. Oh, well, he's just a girly girl. I mean, they're going to do it for anybody.
That's because the media is so right-wing biased.
That's true.
We're living in fascism.
That is true. The media is right-wing biased. I mean, 95% of talk radio is right-wing.
Yeah, so if it was equal, Dennis Kucinich, I think we'd just tear him up.
I think Kucinich couldn't win the middle. He couldn't win the middle of America. He couldn't win the... I think if it were Kucinich versus Giuliani would kill Kucinich. Because the middle 20% would not want to go as far left as Kucinich is. I just being honest with you. I mean, it may not be what you want to hear. But I think I just don't think he would be seen as a radical leftist rather than, you know, a mainstream moderate Democrat. And those are the only ones that win the elections. I mean, the reason Bill Clinton won. Go ahead.
I can't help but think that Dennis Kucinich really speaks to the working people because he's like the only one out there saying, bring our factories back home from China. I don't hear that from conservative Democrats or Republicans.
I think you'll hear that from John Edwards. I think John Edwards will say that. I think Barack Obama occasionally will say that. Maybe even Hillary on a good day. But I know what you're saying. I mean, it'll be interesting to see where the unions go. Right now, I think they're pretty much between Edwards, Obama, and Hillary. They're all, you know, one of the three. But, I mean, you're right. Outsourcing is a major problem in America. And it's one that I think that has real resonance to folks.
And the truck drivers I talk to out here, they're just... I talk to them about our jobs going overseas, and they always agree with me. We should bring them home. And Dennis Kucinich is the only one saying that. And he said Edwards is too, and he's pretty good. But it's just the media is so right-wing. It's just like we're living in fascism.
Well, I think you have to fight back. I mean, Alan, you know, write letters to the editor, to the newspaper. You know, call. I don't know who's your member of Congress.
Congress, Baucus.
Oh, Spencer Baucus. Oh, he's awful.
Well, I don't talk to him.
He's awful.
I think he's pretty well. I know he's pretty well out
he's
there.
He's a far right wing wacko. I know who he is. He's terrible. So you live in a very Republican area, huh?
Yeah, I'm from Alabama.
And
Senator Sessions is my Senate.
You have everything's bad there. I mean, just in terms politically. So tell me this, Alan. The people around you, okay? Do you ever get in conversations with folks about politics where, you know, people who support Spencer Baucus and Jeff Sessions? Or do y'all just avoid talking about politics?
I have a relative who's for him, but I just avoid talking to him about such issues. But ironically, the relative that I'm talking about is for bringing our jobs home, too.
Right.
It seems like through the years they're using the race issue and abortion issue as cover-ups to do these kind of things.
You know, it's amazing that has been working since the Civil War, before the Civil War. It worked in slavery times, right? Rich whites turning poor whites against poor blacks or slaves, in a way to basically get them to support the rich whites' interests. And it still works.
Yeah, they turn up against the Jews. And that's
right,
what
right. Jews
is.
And gays and blacks and anyone who's different and, you know, Hispanics and, you know, anybody. And they do it as a way to take away from the fact that the rich whites are totally screwing over the poor whites in Alabama. So why don't they see it? That's my question. Why don't they see that if they combine with people of good faith of all colors and religions and walks of life, that actually the folks that are profiting are a small minority? Why don't they see that in Alabama? Is it religion? Is it the church? Is that what's mostly keeping them? What do you think?
Yeah, I think things are getting so bad. I think people are starting to see through the whitewash, and I think that somebody like Dennis Kucinich would really bring it out.
Do you? You think he could win in the South?
If he got the press coverage that he deserves. Edwards would,
you know,
too.
I tell you, I wish America were the kind of country where a guy with Dennis Kucinich's looks and ideas could become president of the United States. Unfortunately, I think we may be too superficial for that. In a world where we follow Britney Spears and Paris Hilton and all of them, I mean, it's almost like the man who doesn't look presidential. People care about that. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. But they're like, oh, well, you know, Fred Thompson, he looks like a DA in the movies, and, you know, and he's a tall guy, so, and he's a short guy, and he looks, you know, kind of squirmy. So people care about things like that.
Yeah, what you're talking about is media propaganda. If they just really, if the media talks about the real issues, then those guys are really standing tall. People would look up to them.
Yeah, but you know, when do we ever talk about the real issues in America? We do it here on the Horn, no question about it. But is that what people who aren't into politics? The most of the politics they get is from Jay Leno or Jon Stewart or David Letterman. They're just going to listen to the jokes. I don't know. It's a scary thought, really, is to America. I mean, it really is. How do we get them talking more about the issues? I think part of it is charisma. One of the reasons I like Barack Obama is when he gives a speech, people listen. He gives a fiery speech, and he wakes people up. And you look at places like Louisiana, for example, and they have a whole history of demagoguery on both the left and the right. Democrats, you know, the Kingfish, Huey Long, and David Duke as well, from Louisiana. And what's interesting about that is that it doesn't seem to matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans. If you give a good speech, if you give a fiery speech, people are going to listen. I just, honestly, I don't think Dennis Kucinich has a certain charisma that I think is necessary in politics. I've met him. I've interviewed him. I've had him on the show. I do think he definitely has got a purist about his ideals, and I respect that. I mean, he's someone who's definitely not going to give in and not going to compromise in any way. And I like that about him, and he leads, and that's why he can do things like the impeachment measure that he did. But I just don't see him as winning an election, I got to tell you.
Yeah, you were talking about like the ignorance people have about politics earlier. I think a lot of it is about education. And also I've heard that in countries where the women are educated, there's less abortions.
That's true. That's definitely true, and it's a good point from this article. Hey, Alan, thanks for your call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Call in again sometime. I'll tell you, this is a very interesting article on the abortions issue. Fred Thompson recently got in trouble because he said on air that he doesn't think that he wants to see a bunch of young girls sent to prison for having abortions. And the pro-life movement went, oh, my God, how could he say such a thing? What a terrible thing. That's like a pro-choice argument. Well, they need to get their consistency right. If abortion is murder, then you got to kill all these 16-year-old women having abortions, right? Right? They're not very consistent, are they? That's it for the Inside Scoop. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Tune in next week. This is Mark Levine signing off.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Congress overrode the first veto in President Bush's seven-year presidency. The Senate voted 79-14 today to pass the $23 billion water resources bill. President Bush had criticized it for containing unnecessary projects, but Congress supported the bill, which provides local communities with money for dams, sewage plants, and beach restoration. The state of California is suing the federal government over auto emissions. The suit against the EPA will force a decision about whether California can go ahead and impose gas emission standards for vehicles. If California is granted the waiver, about a dozen other states are expected to follow. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said today the House will vote on a $50 billion war funding bill as soon as Friday. The amount is about a quarter of what President Bush has requested for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The bill would also require the president to start bringing troops home immediately and end combat by December 2008. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is in Japan today. He urged the country to play a larger role in international security. In Pakistan, President General Pervez Musharraf said that parliamentary elections will take place in mid-February. That is about a month later than planned. Former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto urged Musharraf to step down as head of the military, something President Bush has also urged him to do. The former Soviet Republic of Georgia remains under a state of emergency. Its president said today elections will be moved ahead to January 5th of next year to, quote, receive the trust of the people, end quote. In northern Italy today, a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter crashed. Four people on board were killed and six were injured. The helicopter had taken off from the U.S. Air Force base in Aviano. In Dubai, a bridge under construction collapsed. Seven workers were killed and 15 were injured, according to authorities.